What's Up Headlines.
Indianapolis Colts making a bunch of moves today. Josh McDaniels announced as their new head coach. Patriots assistant quarterback coach Jerry Schaplinski expected to join McDaniels' staff. Also special teams coordinator Joe Judge. Yes, Schaplinski. Joe Judge also expected to be on board, as will Dave DeGuglielmo. Yesterday, the Lions officially announced Matt Patricia as their new head coach. Police are investigating a break-in at the home of Rob Gronkowski. They were there yesterday, checking things out around 6 p.m.
Mikovic was there yesterday, too.
At the house?
Yeah, holding a beer at the front door.
Yeah. Can he...
They must have had a party.
Can he account for his whereabouts over the previous couple of days? Mm-hmm.
Does he have a key?
That's right. Multiple safes and possibly
guns. He might have advice on retirement, right? He might know something about that. That might be why he's over there.
That's right. Possibly guns.
Could weirder things have happened in one neighborhood close to that Foxborough police station?
By the way, we have something coming up.
They all live in
the
same neighborhood.
On this case that we're going to get to at 1:20, if you guys don't mind. We're going to get you an update on what's happening down in Foxborough.
Good.
Some on-scene reports, from what I understand?
Some eyewitness accounts.
Good. All right. Both the Bruins and Celtics in action tonight. Kyrie Irving expected to return. He's missed a few games with a quad injury. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the call on 100.7 WZLX. That's because the Bruins are also in action tonight. They're in Detroit to play the Red Wings. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers get things going. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show, 7 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines brought to you by the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Go to GoCSB.com for more information. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Talking about the Pats, Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Revolution. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Tom drops back under pressure, throws it downfield for Quicks, who's open at the 40, curls back to the inside, and then he's going to get decked at the 41-yard line, drilled by Malcolm Jenkins.
Down to Brady, again to James White, pitches it back to Danny Amendola. He throws a lob to Brady, off his hands, incomplete! The Patriots pull out a play from the 2015 game against the Eagles. Amendola throwing it to Brady. Snap to Foles. Throws a lob down the right side. Wheel route for Clement. Makes the catch past Richards. Runs away left to the 40. Carries to the 35-30. Breaks a tackle by Harmon. And eventually, he's brought down by Chung inside the 10.
Brandon Bolden
in an empty set.
Jet sweep.
Bolden hands on knees. Brady points to his helmet, surveys the defense. In motion, Cooks left to right, takes the handoff on the jet sweep. He goes high in the air and he comes down short of the first down marker as McLeod stood his ground and makes the tackle on Cooks. Diagnosed well by the Eagles.
He's stupid or something.
I mean, I knew the jet sweep's coming.
You did?
You put Brandon Bolden in the game.
Thomas is stupid as a stupid does.
I hope Scott Zolak's point that you just heard at the very end of that was not lost on people on Sunday night. When James White and Deion Lewis were standing on the sideline and Brandon Bolden was into the game.
I turned around and looked at you. Here comes a jet sweep. Because they ain't handing it to him.
Not giving it to Bolden. That's not the guy they'd have in the game to give him the ball. And you said it. You did. You called this before the play even happened. You go, here comes a jet sweep.
I knew. I didn't see practice. I just know the personnel.
You've just watched the game.
Know it.
You've watched the games this year.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Do you think the Eagles figured that out?
Yeah, see the angle.
See the angle they took? It was a great angle.
Chipped him.
Pushed him out. A lot of people have just nonchalantly said, you just put your shoulder down, you just keep running, you get the first down.
He got knocked off. He put him on a big bow right into the backfield.
Not convinced of that. His decision to try and leap over him
was
flat out moronic. But that was actually not his worst decision of the night. His worst decision of the night was catching the football and coming back and trying to make a play and pick up more yards while running in circles. And did he pay dearly for that?
There are times when he has the ball that he looks like a deer with its head cut off. That makes any sense. Just like a deer out in space. Cut that off. And just
I would say like chicken. Chicken with the head chicken cut off. That's whatever. The saying
but
you're
he's
looking
got the
for
deer,
there.
You know what I'm saying?
Or deer in the headlights.
Deer on the ice. You know, it's just,
oh, deer on the ice. Okay,
you know what I mean? The feet are moving so fast. You're
that
like slip, slip, slip it.
I think someone tweeted that he looked like a squirrel running around, like someone chasing a squirrel.
Or a squirrel with its head cut off. One or the other.
Oh, no, I don't think. No, no, again.
If you ever hit a squirrel and you look in the rearview mirror,
you're confusing the sayings. Chicken with the head cut off. Deer in the headlights. You've also come up with deer on the ice.
Coming.
And deer on the ice, I think, works. That
deer on the ice. Even on a jet sweep, though, like he's so freaking fast that you almost can't think when you're that fast that you make reactions that really don't match or would apply to the situation. I don't know. He's a good player. He's not great yet. Maybe he will be. I don't know. With another year, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's out of position. See, but that's an Amendola. That's an Amendola Edelman play. I know they've handed it to him before, and it's a quick pitch, the quick toss, where you got Solder or Gronk out there blocking. So he had no lead blocker. That is a blind jet sweep. You're not pulling anybody. Other times where it's worked to the left at home, you pulled the tackle and you had the tight end. You got a little caravan out there. Remember where he put his head down, put his hand on the back, and he's yelling, "Go, go, go, go!" That's worked before. Didn't work against them. That end made a great play, chipped him back into the backfield, pushed him back to allow the safety to come up and make the play. It's a great tackle. That's how you tackle in space. It's the way Butler tackles. That was a stupid call. I didn't have a problem with the throwback to the quarterback. It was there. That play's there. Jet sweep wasn't there. You know, that play to the quarterback was there. You catch it. That's on Brady. It's a good throw. Brady dropped it. How can we sit here and call them stupid for that?
Well, no,
because
no,
I wouldn't run that crap on third down.
What if he pulls his hamstring?
No, thanks.
You know what I mean?
At that point in the game, you didn't need it at that point. So it was kind of dumb.
Yeah, but
if, more than anything, though, you're right.
But if they're man and they're coming, and you go, you know what?
Damn ball.
Party, if you got
him in
man.
The hands.
And they're blitzing,
hit him in the hands.
Right. It's like calling a screen. It's like one of the things, we got him. We got the coverage. In. I'm sure there was a no call on.
Because that's
if you look at it and it's zone,
that's
or
where everybody's wrong. Everybody did something wrong. The play call was atrocious, and the fact that Brady dropped it was wrong, and everybody's wrong.
You want to know
everybody's
why they're
dumb?
You want to know why they're stupid? Because they decided to hit Brady in stride on an over-the-shoulder throw. I think the throw was about perfect. Why not design that play so Brady just turns around and catches it right in the numbers?
Oh, like Foles did?
Oh, yeah, like Foles did in the end zone.
Oh, with the illegal formation,
Considering it's a quarterback you have out there running that route.
Oh, by
a
all
slow 40-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, imagine if he pulled his hammy.
I don't care if he pulled it off every single time in practice. What do you gain? What was he going to do? Go pick up 12 more yards after the catch? Or do you think he was going to run for maybe 3 more yards and head for the sideline or even slide? Right. So you don't gain anything. Where he would have caught it, you would have had the first down. Have him turn around, put it in his stomach, and have him catch it that way. But no, they're going to put it over his left shoulder as he's hitting, like he's going to.
They got Randy Moss out there catching the ball.
Like he's going to sprint downfield and hurdle a defender in the process. That part of it was stupid.
Imagine if he caught that and got his head taken off, got knocked out of the game.
Play calling was too cute early.
He was all alone. I mean, I don't mind it at all.
That's because that's on my point. You know you have it. This is the perfect setting. We're calling it. You get up to the line, Brady's like, "We got him."
It was so obvious the way he sold it too. Did you?
I knew it too.
His body language on the handoff, and he just slumped his shoulders, like, "Well, I'm not going to be involved in the rest of this play." I mean, it was so oversold. It was beautiful right up until the point where the throw came high, and having him running away from the ball still. Yeah, but stop. Stop, turn around, and catch it. Draw it up that way. That was stupid.
How about the angles Jordan Richards took to come up to play the flat defender or the flat offensive guy going out into the flat? How many times did Foles do this where he pumped it? Did Foles ever pump it to suck anybody up to get the will? No, it's just a natural will. They're willing to deal him from the backfield.
Yeah.
They did it 5 times.
What
then they hit it on a touchdown. On a
what is it that player does well?
Drive somebody to practice well. I don't know.
You drive someone to practice. Okay.
Makes curfew.
That's the guy I want. You know what?
He's a great community guy.
Yeah.
#volunteer.
He's good in the community. He's a good guy.
Nice guy.
Stanford kid.
He shows up for the meetings on time. He did not go to the Rick Ross show in Minneapolis. He stayed in his hotel room watching
film.
Netflix.
Studied film.
Oh, sure. Of course. Film. He wasn't. Of course, there was no personal time. It was all film this week.
Punctuality. Oh. You want to know what he does well?
It's on time. Great.
Punctual.
Awesome.
Except on a wheel route, he's not on time.
Shut up, Jim. I don't like his comments today. Just like little ones here and little digs.
Yeah. He's good. He's good.
Yeah. Well, he opened the season really well, and he closed the season really well.
He didn't file it. He didn't violate any team rules.
You know what he's been? He's been the same player.
Yeah.
Well, he is.
And
you know what he is?
That's not a compliment.
This. He is consistent.
That
check
is
mark. You know what? Positives, he's negatives consistent. About the player. Things you know about the player.
Consistently sucks.
100% consistent.
Brings the same level of play every single
not
day.
Not good in space.
Every single
day.
Let
me write that one down.
Not. Hold on.
Every day. Same guy.
Hold on. Not good in space.
Here, write this down. Write this down. Good. Tackling.
Zolak. A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
/122, Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. The media has obviously descended on Foxborough today following the news of a robbery, a burglary at the home of Rob Gronkowski.
He was burgled.
He's burgled.
It's a prowler.
So, you don't think it was him breaking in like he forgot his key or something?
Nope. This is a targeted burglary of someone who was known to be out of town. That is just lowest of the low right there.
Probably not have security systems in place.
He does. Well, he's got a massive house. He's got a gate, this big wooden and metal gate at the end of the driveway.
Hardy.
Inside job.
Like all burglaries, if the system doesn't have fail safes, maybe it was worked around. You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Got the power.
Oh.
Who knows?
Power?
Interesting.
So, Rob Gronkowski's home was burglarized. It does have cameras on the house. Maybe they're able to recover some of the footage of the robbery. I don't know. But the chief of police in Foxborough has spoken about it. And there's actually a neighbor that is possibly going to contribute some information to the investigation as well.
Indeed. This report from Channel 7.
Rob Mikulvich.
I believe this is the Marshall Hook Station, is what it's called. HDH.
Oh, God, would they send Cooper down?
From Whiskey Hotel Delta Hotel, this report.
Police are calling this an active and dynamic investigation as they try to bring someone to justice here.
Whether you're Rob Gronkowski or Bill Baker, being a victim of a residential property crime like that is unpleasant.
I have a question. Who's Bill Baker?
William Baker is the gentleman who is speaking. He is the chief of police in Foxborough.
Whoa!
Billy Baker.
Foxborough police say they were called about a burglary at Gronk's home just after 6 yesterday evening. We're told it happened while the Pats tight end was at the Super Bowl in Minnesota, but police wouldn't say what day or time.
Again, as part of this active criminal investigation, but it did occur while Mr. Gronkowski was away.
Police also say there were things that were taken, but wouldn't confirm exactly what. However, a radio call from Monday shed some light on that.
Like a play-by-play radio call?
Bob Sosie had the call.
What kind of radio call?
Gronk.
A big man with big Hans. Gronk.
The front door has been breached.
Burglarized.
Stop.
You can see that this is a experienced burglar. He's not putting his hands on it. Not bare hands, not on anything. Wearing gloves.
But wouldn't confirm exactly what. However, a radio call from Monday shed some light on that.
Speak with the homeowner there. Reports while he was away on his trip, his house was broken into, multiple safes, possible guns taken.
According to Foxborough police, no other burglaries were reported in the area at the time.
What was that second thing I said they took?
Guns.
Yeah, here it is.
Possible guns taken.
So, first of all, safes.
Multiple.
Even small safes.
They're heavy.
Those are tough.
That takes time.
You bolt them down, too. What do you think he had in there?
Sockets?
Video games? Rubber bands?
Super Bowl rings?
Yeah.
One of those football speakers.
That's what sucks. That's what I first thing I thought was is Super Bowl rings.
I hope not. For his sake. I hope that's not true.
All right, let's
see. That's what I thought of. As soon as I heard there was a ring, I'm thinking, oh, damn, are his rings there?
Police wouldn't say if Gronkowski's home had security cameras. As for Gronk himself, after the Super Bowl and now this.
I think it's a kind of a tough combination, you know, to have suffered this unfortunate loss.
That Bill Baker again?
Bill Baker.
That's Bill Baker again.
Willie Baker.
And then to get home and be a victim of this kind of crime, which, as I say, really has kind of a profound effect on everybody who's a victim of this crime when your personal space is breached like that.
Breaching.
That neighborhood probably not used to stuff like that.
I love how he says, suffered an unfortunate loss, and then his house got broken into.
So, yeah, Nikovic standing there at the door.
Hold on. He's talking about the burglary. Hold on. He's talking about the game first.
They're both losses.
Kind of a profound effect on everybody who's a victim of this crime when your personal space is breached like that.
I missed the part where you're talking about the loss.
And then to get home and be...
Oh, okay, there it is. All right, suffered a loss, gotcha.
You know, to have suffered this unfortunate loss, and then to get home and be a victim of this kind of crime, which is a...
Good football breakdown there from the cop. Pats.
That's full-service police force down there in Foxborough.
There is.
A little commentary on the game.
Unfortunate.
A little investigating afterward. Got you covered.
They must think this team's nuts. Like, you get the other one praying in our parking lot. No shirt. Honey.
Well, he got hot.
Like I said, could you imagine being a changeover crew, bringing in the donuts at Sunday morning at 6 a.m. or Saturday morning at 6 a.m. and
Chandler's there?
And hey, Betty, come here. You got get a look at this one on the monitor.
Get a load of this.
Look at this jack wagon.
Kind of a profound effect on everybody who's a victim of this crime when your personal space is breached like that.
Yeah.
And so police say they'll make more information available once they make an arrest or arrests. We're live in Foxborough. John Coco, 7 News.
Okay, John Coco live there in Foxborough. Thanks,
John Coco.
It's Coco.
Oh.
Coco.
Thanks.
And the community obviously still shocked by that bold break-in, and now we are hearing from someone...
Oh, I can just see the graphic
Coco
behind
the
him.
Monkey.
Okay. Bold break-in.
Here we go. Channel 7, where everything has to have alliteration.
Bold
break-in.
Bold burglary. B-O-W-L. Bold burglary.
There's another heinous crime that's in the news today, locally, and I saw them put up their headline... Disturbing discovery. And I'm like, you people have no shame.
No.
You at Channel 7 have no shame. When you need to make sure that there's alliteration in the headlines for, I'm not going to get into it, a heinous story about two kids that are in the news today.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, God.
And they're putting disturbing discovery.
I know.
I thought the exact same thing.
Whoever
writes the headlines at 7 should need to make a change. Whatever decision that comes from.
Do more people watch the news because you have your stupid little headlines?
Okay, John Coco live there in Foxborough. Thanks for that. And the community obviously still shocked by that bold break-in. And now we are hearing from someone who actually drove by Gronk's home the day of the crime. Seven's Victoria Warren picks
this
up our
is
team
why,
coverage.
And I'm going to tell you right now. Hit pause. This is why we had to use this report today, because this is what we wanted to hear.
Okay, real quick.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski lives at the end of a cul-de-sac. So for you to be driving by, it's not like, I travel Route 140 or Route 1 every day and I pass
Rob's
home.
This is a great detail. Oh, my God.
You,
I didn't know this.
He has a massive house at the end of a cul-de-sac. You have to go down the street. You have to actually turn in the neighborhood. Then you make a left. Then you go down, and there's a big circle. And you actually have to drive around that cul-de-sac just like you have to go out of your way to go see the house.
All right. Okay, so here's the eyewitness.
Who actually drove by Gronk's home the day of the crime. Seven's Victoria Warren picks up our team coverage. She's in Foxborough as well, out in front of Gronk's house.
Oh, great.
Now, two things.
That's supposed to be nice for the neighbors.
How do they know what day the crime was? Because the police aren't saying.
That's number one.
That's
another good point you brought up. Thursday.
And number two, do we want to do this now or you want to do it on the other side?
Let's hold that. We'll do it on the other side, and we'll get Zoe's final thought today on Eric Rowe. That has been promised as well, but wait till you hear the... I guess neighbor? I don't know how close this guy lives to Rob Gronkowski, but he noticed something that was a little off with the home on Sunday. That's next.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines.
Formal announcement from Indianapolis today. Josh McDaniels has agreed to terms as the new head coach. Press conference expected tomorrow. Also, assistant quarterback coach Jerry Schaplinski expected to join McDaniels in Indianapolis. Same goes for special teams coordinator Joe Judge. Also, Dave DeGuglielmo expected to be on board. Lions yesterday signed on former Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia as the new head coach there at Ford Field.
Real quick here, regarding Joe Judge and rumors of him going to Indy with Josh McDaniels, according to Burt Breer, our guy, that the Patriots are making a last-minute push to retain Judge. So little dealing back and forth here.
There you go.
Somebody's got some leverage.
There you go. Kyrie,
you know what? They're probably so excited about that reverse that they ran on that last return.
I think there's a definite reason why there was almost 24 more hours between Patricia. Well, maybe no. Actually, it should be the other way around. All right. So here's, we got Kyrie Irving. He's back tonight. He's missed a few games with a quad injury. The Celtics are in Toronto to play the Raptors. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, they've got the call on 100.7 WZLX. Bruins are on the Sports Hub tonight. They're in Detroit to play the Red Wings. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers on that call on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5 the Sports Hub. Bruins Radio Network face-off just after 7:30. Headlines are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life and visit awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports, 98.5 the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the midday.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whether you're Rob Gronkowski or Bill Baker, being a victim of a residential property crime like that is unpleasant.
All right, so we've already heard from Bill Baker, chief of police. Now it's time to hear from the neighbor.
Oh, my God.
Down in Foxborough. Here. Neighbor of Rob Gronkowski.
Pick him back up with the report on Channel 7.
Yeah, well, he drove by on Sunday, and he's guessing that perhaps maybe when all of this happened. But, you know, Rob Gronkowski here.
Wait a minute.
So, again, just to recap, Scott Zolak said, this is not a house you drive by. This is a home on a cul-de-sac. I didn't know that, but now that you've added that, it makes it even more wild.
Nice house.
When all of this happened, but, you know, Rob Gronkowski, he arrived back at his home yesterday. One of the first phone calls he had to make was to the Foxborough Police Department about this break-in. We spoke with some neighbors who say they noticed nothing unusual, but at least one man is telling us that he remembers seeing one of these gates wide open.
A peek from Rob Gronkowski from behind his front door, but not a word after police spent hours at his Foxborough home investigating a break-in. Mid-morning Tuesday, a black Hummer and white van pulled away. Neighbors say the Patriots tight end is a good neighbor who isn't around much. They didn't see anything unusual, but another man who drives by often says he saw something strange on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, driving past his house on Sunday between 12:30 and 1:30.
Stop. So on game day?
Yeah.
Which Sunday? Last Sunday?
No, this Sunday. This Sunday. Past Sunday.
So on Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Patriot fandom tradition.
This is definitely what it is.
I'm doing a freaking drive-by.
I'm going to do a
Rob Gronkowski's house.
Because he definitely lives
nearby.
I always
drive by his house. I like driving by his house
on game
day. He's
a Sox fan, too. Got a Red Sox t-shirt on.
What's he got?
Pictures of Shane Victorino and Johnny Gomes.
Maybe he's a tool.
And it turns out that we looked over and we jokingly said, hi, Gronk's house. And
time. There it is.
Wait a minute. It's plural.
Game day.
Did you miss that?
They drive by the house hi, Gronk's house.
Hey, kids, get in the car. We're going to go drive by a tight end's house. And he's not there.
And it turns out that we looked over and we jokingly said, hi, Gronk's house. And, hey, his gate is open.
Okay.
What part of the walk through the gate?
My next question was, okay, the gate's open. Why would that alarm you? Why would that alarm you? You drive by someone's house and they had a gate open? What does that matter?
Yeah, driving past his house on Sunday between 12:30 and 1:30. And it turns out that we looked over and we jokingly said, hi, Gronk's house. And, hey, his gate is open.
Tom Savino says when he's driven by before, he's seen superfans leave balloons at the gate, but never anything like this.
Who sounds like he drives by a lot.
Wait a minute. So that's where they cut it off on the later edition of the news? Early this morning, they played this out where he said, and his gate is almost never open.
We jokingly February.
And I'm like, wait, how many times do you drive by this guy's house?
I heard it early this morning in the 6 o'clock edition.
He goes,
I joke around. I turn around. I said, maybe we should call the cops, but we didn't.
And so they've obviously edited this out to do the guy a solid. He had a discussion about whether or not they should call the cops and then decided, the hell with it.
Kind of would scare me as the homeowner. Some freaks driving by every day.
Jokingly said, hi, Gronk's house.
And okay.
I'm back.
All right, here's one question I have.
So he thought about calling the police and then didn't call the police. And he drives by the house enough on this cul-de-sac
to
know that the gate is never open. So he does a lot of drive-bys,
yeah,
the Gronk house.
I'd take a peek at this cat.
Now
he just figured himself.
You would say, why are people leaving?
Come on.
That is the fake promo of all fake promos.
There's two today. It's just some old-timey police talk there, Beetle. I don't know what you're talking about.
Isn't that kind of weird?
Yes. To point somebody out is to, you know, finger that person as the culprit. I'm with you, Zoe.
Thank you. Thank you, freak. Weirdo. Weird.
He used his finger when he said.
He said, "Hi, Gronk's house."
And yeah, point it out.
Oh man! All right, go ahead.
Why they're leaving balloons outside? But then, when you think about it, Gronk probably likes balloons. If you're going to leave something out there, that'll really make him happy.
Teddy bears.
And then have like a weird memorial type of feel to it. We go and light candles at the gate at Gronk's house. Yeah. What?
We thought, well, maybe we should call the police. And we said, what the heck? It can't be. You know, this is in the middle of the day. Why would somebody want to rob Gronk's house?
But when news of the burglary spread, Savino drove right to the police department to report what he saw and when. People who live in the neighborhood, though, say the most they saw was the gate slightly ajar, which they say sometimes happens in the wind.
He didn't pick up the phone. He drove right down there.
I'm sure
to the police
very
station
happy to see him.
And said, I got a report that I didn't report things on Sunday.
I'm here to turn myself in for not filing a report when I should have reported it.
I'm here to report that against my better judgment, I didn't call you on Sunday, and I should have.
See, I was driving by.
Turns out that we looked over and we jokingly said, hi, Gronk's house.
Hi,
and
Gronk's house.
Hi. Kids wave. There's the house. Who else is in the car? Kids, get in the car. We're going to do the drive-by again.
And then we left the teddy bear at the gate because Gronk likes those, too.
Put your big white gloves and those 87 jerseys on.
You know, about 3-4 times this season, we'll drive by. We'll leave some balloons outside. Or we'll go to Costco. You get the big bouncy balls. They keep them in a cage. And you get the big, you know, like there's a Patriots colored one sometimes at the bottom. You got to reach your hand in and kind of, you know, push it up a little bit, get it past the. I don't think he likes the polka dotted bouncy balls. We get him just the solid Patriot colored ones. We'll leave those outside, but they blow away in the wind. That's what happens. That's why I noticed with the gate, too.
Plus, the cops would be like, sir, why do you know he's in playing in a Super Bowl today? Why are you driving by his house? What are you scoping out the house for?
Well, not scoping it. We leave things. I worked a bunch of overtime one week and had a few extra bucks, so we bought him a slip and slide. We left it outside at the end of the driveway there for him. I think he likes it.
Say bye.
Oh, man.
Bye, Gronk's house. Bye, house. Hi.
That we looked over and we jokingly said, hi, Gronk's house.
Jokingly. No, it's more of a Sunday routine.
Big Ben Parliament.
This poor guy. What's his name again?
Because you're in a circle. You could just. We'll drive around in the circle for sometimes 30, 40 minutes. And every time when we go by, we say, we look over. And it's just joking around, but we'll say.
Jokingly said, hi, Gronk's house.
And, then we'll drive around the rest of the circle. And then, you know, you get back over on that side of the car. And then for both kids, then I'll reverse directions so the other kids get a chance on their window when we drive by and say.
Jokingly said, hi, Gronk's house.
Right, you know. For the kids.
Wow.
with people? What is wrong with people?
Why don't you leave him alone? Just, what are you driving by his house
say,
for?
Bye,
leave him alone.
Can you get to the part where he says, who would want to rob Gronkowski? And play that part again, quickly. If you could, Hardy. I don't know if you have it there.
What's this guy?
Never anything like this.
We thought, well, maybe we should call the police. And we said, what the heck? It can't be. You know, this is in the middle of the day. Why would somebody want to rob Gronk's house?
He calls him Rob. He calls him just Rob, like they're on a first name basis.
Rob.
Who would want to mess with Rob? I mean Gronk.
It's kind of weird to say Rob together, isn't that kind of weird?
You want to save Eric Groh for your takeaway there, Zoe? Got a take on that? A serious sports point on Eric Groh. Yeah, Zoe's going to do that next with the takeaways. Don't go anywhere.
We jokingly said, hi, Gronk's house, and hey, his gate is open.
Isn't that kind of weird?
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet. I'm stuck.
Hey! Right, so get to your point.
Time
we
for
our takeaways.
Yeah.
Give us who it's brought to us by.
Well, it's sponsored by Week 180 Weight Loss, these takeaways. Four locations, Newton, Peabody, Quincy, and now in Seekonk.
That's right.
Eric Rowe. And I thought about this a lot. I've gone back and forth. I'm like, why would you drop this in a kid's lap after that type of week? And we're out there. It's an elevated week, guys. It's a big week. It's a big week for us as broadcasters, talking sports. You know, the signage, the amount of stuff you put into it as a player. You're being sequestered in a hotel, the type of media, the tanks. You get the enormity of what this game is. Why would you drop it in his lap right before kick? You know what? We've got a late scratcher. Get ready. You're in. Because I think they did that. I think he fully well knew. The second whatever violation Malcolm screwed up, he knew then he was going to go with Rowe. And he told him right before it because maybe he would have let it go down his pants if you told him 3 days earlier. Like with all your family coming in, the 8 people, he's probably having a good time with them, mm-hmm. able to socialize for 3 days, deal with a little normalcy, walk in the mall.
Sure.
Probably can't do that if you know you're starting Super Bowl 52 ahead of Malcolm Butler. Because now it consumes you for 3 days. Holy crap.
Or allows you 3 days to be even more prepared against the guys you're going to go up against.
You go out for warm-ups, you start hyperventilating warm-ups. Like I told you, the pregame. They went in 10 minutes almost before the Eagles did. Like they were done with their pregame. They shut it down. They had it all planned out. So now you sit in there and you just stare at your locker for 20 minutes like, holy crap, I'm starting the Super Bowl. Holy crap, I'm starting. For a guy not in that spot all year and then full well knowing, shoot, I'm going to have nightmares about covering Alshon Jeffrey. You know, that I think they did that so the player didn't have the time to process it for 3 days to where he could let one go down his leg, so to speak. But, man, that was planned. That was planned. That just didn't hit Bill 10 seconds before kick. That was done intentionally. And why was it done intentionally? So the player doesn't let it go. So it doesn't consume the player. He could go out there and work all week. So he's working to package his study and film, you know, with the mindset that, okay, I'm going to play in this game. And Rowe knows he's going to play. He's your nickel guy, right? You bring him in, kick him outside. man. Plus the panic it would also indicate or send to Jonathan Batamosi. You know, now, oh, crap, I'm one snap away. So that's it. It's my takeaway on Eric Rowe.
Okay, I'm going to get to this. I promised Dan Shaughnessy this, and that is on the anniversary of the start of the Blizzard of 78. We got to go for more Man on the Street. We've had so much fun with Man on the Street interviews on the news.
We should have got Gil Santos on to talk about this, too, because I can't tell you how many breakfasts I've done with him talking about the Blizzard of 78 where he walked 10 miles barefoot to shovel sidewalks for 15
cents. Some of these people that were at the Boston Garden that night did walk 10 miles to get home because they got stranded at the Garden after a hockey game.
Neither snow nor wind nor temporary loss of power will stay a beanpot crowd of 12,000 from getting to the game.
How they're going to get home is the question.
12,000 people were at Boston Garden last night for the Beanpot Hockey Tournament, and most were oblivious to the test of survival going on outside. It wasn't until about 10:30 that an announcement was made informing the crowd of the storm and travel situation and urging them to leave. But by game's end, a few thousand still remained, most wondering how they would get home.
I'm getting home on Southern Comfort and 7-Up.
How are you all getting home tonight?
Who knows that? No. I'm staying here all night. We have a car here. It's parked in the parking lot next door. We're going to go outside. We don't even know what it looks like outside yet. And we'll go outside and we'll make a decision. If we can't get home, we'll stay here and have a few beers till the bar's closed at 2. And then we'll come back in here and party.
I'm not going home tonight. Hopefully I'll find someplace in town to stay.
At the Garden?
Not at the Garden. No way at the Garden. No way at the Garden.
About 100 people did stay at the Garden. They slept on the floor of the visiting locker rooms, in the Blades and Boards Club, and many just roamed the halls, partaking of the free food and coffee offered by the management. By this afternoon, the only people still stranded were security personnel. We got out about 2 in the morning, leaving behind us one young man slouched in a seat, saying to no one in particular, "Boy, I wish I had my pajamas."
You should call Pajamagram.
Oh, man. 1978. What a different world. Yeah, we're going to stay here. We're going to drink some beers, and they're not going to kick us out. If that happened now, the Garden would have kicked all those people out onto the curb saying, "Get lost. Get home somehow. You're not our problem." In 78, they let them sleep in the Garden and offered them free coffee and food.
It's unbelievable.
The accents are unreal.
I know.
Very quickly, one bit of news. Carson Wentz got engaged, posted the professional engagement photos online. If you want to throw up, I suggest you follow him on Twitter.
Oh, that's
big. Why? Yeah. Why do you say that?
Professional engagement photos? Look at them. Look at them. Really captures the spur of the moment. Oh, no, it's all fake and phony and awful.
Anything else?
Yes. Beetle, your reaction to something Zolak said earlier. We need to break this down a little bit.
And he drives by the house enough. On
kids,
this cul-de-sac.
Kids get in the
to
car.
Know that the gate is never open. So he does a lot of drive-bys.
Yeah.
The Gronk house.
I'd take a peek at this cat.
Now
he just figured himself.
You would say, why are people leaving?
Come on.
Stop. It's Wallach-esque.
It's a caw.
It's a caw.
It's ken coming to kill me. Caw.
That is the fake promo of all fake promos.
There's 2 today. I think we heard Beatles' real laugh there.
Oh, it's awesome.
Leaving.
Oh, man.
Thank you for that, Zoe.
Fake promos of all fake promos. We had a couple of good ones in there today already.
Sure did.
Really did.
Looks like a Bedard
including
Tuesday.
Including that.
It's good to see the big boy on time. Greg Bedard right off the top.
Greg Bedard ready to go.
Wow.
Out of the gate.
Look at that.
Out of the gate on Felger and Maz, which is coming up in mere seconds. All right. Good to be back, boys. Let's do it again tomorrow, 10 a.m.
All right, guys.
All right. Talk to you then.